Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we're back for another episode of the Startup Hustle podcast. This is Matt Watson, your host of the day. And this is part of our series about crypto and NFTs. So stay tuned for that. We're doing several different episodes about NFTs, which is really exciting, covering all kind of aspects of them. Today, our topic is going to be more about crypto in general. And our guest today is Seth Maniscalco. He is the author of Prohibited Profits and the founder of the Crypto Wealth Coach. And most of you probably don't realize this, but I'm also a big fan of cryptocurrency related stuff. So this will be a fun topic today. Before we get started, I do want to remind everybody that today's episode is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build software teams quickly and affordably. Seth, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here. Thank you, Matt. The honor is mine.
So I'm definitely interested to learn more about your book and what you do. And I guess my first question when it comes to crypto is, are we buying or selling today? Are we in a bull market or a bear market today? Do you know?
Well, that's not a simple answer. And that really depends on who you are and what kind of an investor you are, right? I mean, there's my little disclaimer. Are you a short-term investor or are you a long-term investor? Do you think blockchain is going to be here in 10 years?
Yeah.
I'm a buyer. I don't know about you. When it's worth $500,000, I'm not going to care too much if you bought it 36 grand or 41 grand. That's nominal to me.
So I first bought Bitcoin in 2013.
There you
okay?
go.
And then in 2017, when it went really crazy and went to like $20,000, I thought I like awoke, like I'm like the random person that forgot I even had crypto. And then I think I had like, I want to say I bought like $500 worth of it in 2013. And then all of a sudden it was worth like 15 grand or something like that. And then I decided I'd get more interested in it. And then I've since then have mostly figured out every way to lose money with cryptocurrency. So
there's a few of those.
So what has been your journey into this?
My journey's been an interesting one. I believe I made the first professional recommendation for my investors somewhere around 2015.
Okay.
When Bitcoin was about $225, $215, something like that. I actually unloaded my 401k at that time. I paid a 35% penalty to the IRS and the federal government. And, you know, that decision worked out pretty well for me today, hearing at $42,000. That's a significant move, right?
I mean, you went all in 2015.
It was probably one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. In hindsight, it's easy to say that in hindsight. But that didn't come easy to me. I got to tell you, it took me a very long time to figure out exactly what Bitcoin was. I probably spent a month of diving into it, reading the white papers, watching YouTubes, listening to, you know, random folks on social, and really dissecting exactly what was going on here and why everybody was all excited. And then finally, when that light bulb clicked and went off in my head, it was, you know, it was more of an, oh my gosh moment. How can I not get behind this?
So for those that are listening, and this is, you know, part of the key to our topic today is, you know, kind of what is crypto, you know, how would you explain to, you know, my grandma what crypto is? Because I'll be the first one to tell you, like, I'm all in on crypto in a different way than you. And I'll probably tell you more about that later. But like, if I talk to my mom or dad about it, they don't understand it. They don't get it. Like, they still don't get it. Like, they just totally foreign to them.
And, you know, there's challenges with that too, right? Because at the end of the day, we're talking about technology, and technology continues to advance. And yes, there's opportunities to make life-changing money in the cryptocurrency realm. But that's not to say that it's easy. The reason you can make a lot of money is because it is probably the most complex financial market on planet Earth right now at the moment today. I suspect that will change and technology continues to advance, but it's not as easy as going, you know, down to your corner bank and opening a bank account.
Yeah.
You need to have a computer, you need to have a laptop, you need to, you know, take certain precautions. If you're going to be responsible and sovereign in your own money, that means there's no 1-800-BITCOIN you can call if you make a bad purchase with your Bitcoin debit card. You know, you got a problem at that point. You are responsible for your own decisions. And if you're not careful, you know, the only people that have ever lost money in Bitcoin that have held it less than a 4-year full market cycle basically did something stupid. Either they handed their money to somebody else and they didn't do their homework, you know, some malicious actor, or they forgot the passwords to the keys to their kingdom and yep. didn't write it down. And, you know, there's nobody they can call for help.
And forgot it was on their hard drive and they dropped it off at Best Buy to be recycled.
You know, it was human error, plain and simple. There's no other way around that. And a lot of people, you know, aren't comfortable with that. There's a certain amount, there's pros and cons to having a bank account, right? You know, somebody can protect your money up to $250,000 with FDIC insurance. And if you have a problem, you can call the bank president and say, you know what, somebody scammed me. I need my $1,000 purchase back. And it may take you 3 days or a week to get that money back. But eventually, you know, you'll make your case and you'll get that money and you'll be protected. There are no protections with Bitcoin. You know, they call it trustless, but you need to have a whole lot of trust for me to send you a Bitcoin and make a purchase from you.
Yeah, because you can't get it back.
Like, you need to have trust in that situation.
No reversal of it. So I guess, you know, so I think most people probably know what Bitcoin is these days, and they know it's basically some form of magic internet money that's digital, right? And honestly, in many ways, the US dollar isn't much different, right? Like, there's nothing backs the US dollar, right? It's worth a dollar because the US government says it's worth a dollar.
Guns and violence and the threat of jail. Yeah, that's nothing else other than that.
There's nothing that backs the US dollar either. And we could largely argue it's digital at this point. Like, we use credit cards and online banking, and like, we don't use a lot of paper money. I mean, at the end of the day, it's basically
digital. We've been using digital money since the 1970s. This is nothing new. We've been going to the ATM. Your money is really just ones and zeros on an Excel spreadsheet. That's it.
So then my question for you, and I have my different answer. I have my own answer for this that I can share, but I'd like to hear your answer. Then why Bitcoin? Why do we need Bitcoin?
So the exciting thing that Bitcoin specifically brings to the table that never really existed before in all of modern human history, right? So let me scale this back for a moment, because modern humans are like, what, the last 20,000 years? You know, we're still basically cavemen walking around with smartphones, but we're modern humans. And it, you know, we used to trade shiny jewels. We would trade mm-hmm. shells. If you and I wanted to have an agreement, we might barter on a chicken or a cow or you know, the next crop that's gonna come out in April here in spring, right? I mean, we would barter.
Yes.
Then we moved to precious metals. We would dig gold out of the ground and press it in a nice coin and polish it up and put a Roman emperor's face on it, because we trust the Roman emperor. who also backed their money with threats of gold and violence and all that stuff too. But we trusted them, right? At the end of the day, the only reason we use our money is because you agree that $100 bill has some sort of value in the market. Right. And I agree that $100 has value, and we change hands and we go about our business, right? The problem that really comes with modern money is the fact that, you know, you and I in the old days would shake hands and we would agree, and we would barter a chicken or a cow and we'd go our separate ways. And maybe you might not be happy at the end of that agreement, and you might be pissed off and decide, I don't want to give this guy my chicken. I'm going to do business with somebody else. Right. Whatever happens, the deal fell apart. And we would just go our different way. Now we trust third parties. Who's the third party? Well, that's the bank. You give them you give them $100,000 worth of your money, and they have the control over your money. They can shut your bank account down if they just, and I've been through this a few times, you know, having businesses with cryptocurrency in the name. Well, in 2018, I had, you know, Chase Bank shut down my business account because they came out with a blanket policy that said, we don't want to do business with crypto people. And eventually the world has changed, and I got my way through those situations and I found other banks. But at the end of the day, all my money was sitting in a bank account somewhere, and they wrote me a check for $250,000 and said, we're not doing business with you. And they gave me no reasons why. So that was an interesting experience, but that highlights the reality that somebody else is in control of your money. So we go to accountants to do our taxes, right? You maybe pay, you know, you write a check for a couple $100, and H&R Block does your accounting, and they sign their name on the paper. Well, you're trusting somebody else in that situation. And believe it or not, there are malicious actors in this world, right? Just because you go to a third party doesn't mean that third party is not corrupt. The banks have done business with some of the nastiest people ever to live on the planet. They have been fined billions of dollars, and, you know, they continue to act in not necessarily the most moral and ethical manner, and they have carte blanche to continue to do it. And that's a little bit of a negative spin on thing, but at the end of the day, these folks have control and they have the power. So what's the difference with blockchain? We've been using digital money since the 70s, PayPal, Venmo, you know, you go hit an ATM, your money's just digital numbers on their spreadsheets, right? This is nothing new. Digital money has existed for 50 years. Well, blockchain and Bitcoin was the first one to come out and say, rather than having a central power like the bank or an online exchange or my accountant handle this, rather than let them have the ledger and say who's right and who's wrong and be the final power, basically we've taken that ledger and we've spread it out against a million other computers across the globe. Now a million other computers, and I'm using round numbers purely for illustration, a million other computers all have to agree that I sent Matt one Bitcoin and he now has one Bitcoin and I have minus one Bitcoin on my ledger. A million other computers all have to agree within a 10-minute period that happened. One person no longer has to agree that I sent money to Matt and it's now in his account. A million other people. So what happens is, the more people that participate in that network and have a Bitcoin wallet, the stronger that network becomes, the more trust that is built in that network. We now have a million people. There's like, you know, I don't know the number, 100 million Bitcoin wallets. It's continuing to compound and grow on an exponential level. Well, that right there, Matt, is my answer. That is the real difference with what Bitcoin delivers and brings to human history that has never existed before.
To me, you know, Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies basically are a form of currency that is not government backed, right? Like that's
true. That's a blanket statement, and it's not true for all cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
Because there are central backed digital currencies that are backed by other
Bitcoin and stuff is not, right? It's not a government backed
currency. Bitcoin is the exception.
And then,
CEO for Bitcoin.
There are a lot of countries that have a lot of issues with inflation and stuff like that. And Bitcoin is
ours being one of them, right?
Yeah, I mean, right now. But I mean, but there are some other countries around the world where their inflation is like hundreds of percent a year, right? Like the price of bread is different every day because the inflation is so bad. And so there are also a lot of countries
it
and
takes
most people
this much paper money to go buy a loaf of bread. And that's not an exaggeration. You know, go to Bolivia, go to Venezuela. You're 100% on point, Matt.
Yeah. And so there are also a lot of other countries, and most people don't realize this, that use the US dollar, or they have their own currency that is pegged to the US dollar, basically like Panama and like
how many countries are in the world today? I don't know, 220, 230. Like there's some micronations, but for math and for the audience, 179 other countries use the US dollar to back their money. 179 countries.
That's crazy.
That's reckless is what that is. That's
crazy.
Irresponsible. And the US government has printed 60% more dollars in the last 2 years. And that's a house of cards on a beachfront made of sand that's waiting to get blown over, my man.
Yep.
That's, you know,
so what,
I'm painting probably an ugly picture, and I hope I'm wrong. I genuinely hope I am wrong.
Well, and that's one of the great things about Bitcoin is there will only ever be 21 million of them or whatever the number is. And so you can't print more of them. That's all there's ever going to be.
So what makes that's an incredibly important factor. And one of the things we hone on for my investment principles for my hedge fund, and also, you know, that we talk about in the new book, Prohibitive Profits, is what is a sound currency, right? Now we're talking about deflationary money, where it has a hard cap on it, versus the US government, which is inflationary money. And somebody just goes down in the printer and they can make billions of dollars tomorrow.
Yeah.
There's no cap. That's what inflation
is. And I always joke when people talk about the national debt, I always kind of laugh at them. Like, we don't have national debt. We make our own money. We make as much money as we want. Like, what difference does it make?
Who are we paying back exactly? We'll just
now. I agree. We should have a national or a balanced budget. Like, I'm all for a balanced government budget. But at the same time, like, we don't really have net debt because it's our own currency. So,
you know, then why are we collecting taxes, Matt? Like, who are we really paying? You know, there's a lot. That's a deep rabbit hole, right? I mean, that opens up a can of worms.
But it highlights the problem, right? Is the government controls all of it, and even with the U.S. dollar, the U.S. government has a lot of influence worldwide because of what you mentioned earlier. The U.S. dollar is used heavily worldwide, but especially in the oil industry, where most countries have to have U.S. dollars to buy and sell oil with, which creates a high demand for U.S. dollars. So, for example, at Full Scale, reminder, this podcast today is brought to you by FullScale.io, helping you build software development teams quickly and affordably. In the Philippines, if they want to buy oil, they've got to take the Filipino peso and buy U.S. dollars with it and then buy barrels of oil. So that
you're thinking 10 years ago, that was accurate. Yes.
So but that devalues their currency, right? Because they need less of their currency and more of ours. And so that's what partly controls the exchange rate as well, is that supply of they have to buy so many U.S. dollars. But they have to buy oil with it. So it's like the U.S. wants to control all the banking system, the SWIFT system, you know, all that stuff worldwide. And part of it comes down to buying and selling of oil.
Imagine the audacity of somebody telling you how you can spend your money that you worked for and you pay taxes for. That's a travesty, man. I love these conversations. These are fascinating. I'm really enjoying this. It's a scary world. And here's the problem with that. I'm largely libertarian minded. So I believe you should be able to spend your money how you want. You should be able to live your life how you want. And, you know, I believe in less government end of the day, right? Like I want the freedom to live my life how I want. And as long as I am not hurting anybody else, I should have the freedom to live how I want, you know? And the problem is, From my perspective, I'm just sharing my perspective here. But if you put enough pressure on people, which is what the U.S. government and laws do in a large way, people will find a way around you, right? Like, I mean, we can sit here and the war on drugs is a complete failure. We have spent more money fighting the war on drugs than we have done good in this world. When you create a system of laws, at the end of the day, all you've done is create a black market that did not exist before. Because people find a way, you know, that's why criminals exist, right? Like, we have tens of thousands of papers on the law, And criminals exist because they don't care what you put on paper at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So what happens? So when you force other countries to follow your rules and follow your laws, and you must use my money that's not backed on anything, or we will come in and invade your country and kill your citizens because we don't like how you do it, eventually they're going to find a way around you. And that is what Bitcoin now solves. Now they're going out and you know, there can be a conversation around moral countries and whether they should be doing this or not. And I will grant you that. You have the right to that opinion. But you have to understand that when you put pressure on people who don't want to live the way that you want to live, they are going to find a way around you eventually. And that is what's happening now. Now there is a way for people to get around the US dollar. They don't have to use your dollar. We can use Bitcoin. We can go out buy gold. We can stake funds in other assets to get away from you. And countries like China have been stockpiling gold for the last 10 years to get away from America. We're now seeing Russia doing the same thing. You know, there's a big conversation to be had. But my point is, if you put enough pressure, people find a way around you. And that's what the world is doing right now.
And let's talk about that for a minute, because obviously the war with Russia and Ukraine has dramatically changed a lot of these things. And so the value of the Russian ruble has crashed, right? And sure. Now, you know, all the governments around the world can sanction and basically seize the assets of the Russian government. And if people were using the blockchain, they wouldn't be able to do that. Like if Russia owned, you know, $100 billion worth of Bitcoin, and they were buying and selling, you know, oil, and, you know, they're exporting oil and receiving the money in Bitcoin and doing all that. They don't need US dollars to do it, and they don't even need rubles to do it. They were using Bitcoin. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't sanction it. You can't seize it. Nothing. There's absolutely nothing you can do. You can't stop it. And that's one of the key things to crypto, is nobody's in control of it.
They do have control over on-ramps, right? So, you know, centralized exchanges like Coinbase, Binance, Kraken, anything that has got a CEO sitting behind a desk somewhere is a pain point that they can apply pressure to.
Converting US dollars to crypto, that on-ramp is what we would refer to the on-ramp, right? How do I take money out of my bank account and buy Bitcoin?
But the only reason they can do that is because, you know, you and I as the user have given up our power to say, I want to keep my money on Coinbase. Now, if you're sovereign and use cold storage, you can get away from that.
Yeah.
They can make laws and they can make you a criminal on paper, but, you know,
it doesn't matter.
Until they throw you in jail, they can't really stop you. So that's a different conversation. But yeah, Bitcoin exists outside of their laws, regardless of what they think of it.
And so, I mean, overall, that is one of the big pros to cryptocurrency in general, right? Is it's 100%. Not in control of any government. It's basically a global, universe-wide digital currency that anybody can use.
This is why Bitcoin was invented, right? I mean, the genius of Satoshi Nakamoto, whoever that pseudonym actually really is, whoever the genius is behind
it. Is it Craig Wright?
I don't think so.
I don't think so?
I think he's not the guy, no.
Maybe it's you.
Maybe it is. but the reason this was invented was because of the last financial crisis, right? Somebody said, you know what? The US government is wrong. This is not right. And we need to get the government out of our money. That's the true genius behind this. That is what really is being afforded at the end of the day. Is it perfect? No, there's problems. It's not perfect. Technology is going to continue to advance. If for some reason we have a ginormous solar flare, biggest one in the last 40,000 years, and the electromagnetic interference of the globe gets shut down and the internet is gone, well, guess what? Bitcoin isn't going to work either. But we're probably going to have a lot bigger problems going on if that really happens. You know, there's arguments that people like to make about that. That is the exception and not the norm. No, it's not perfect. It's not a perfect system. We're humans. It ain't perfect. But by God, it is probably 99.9% near perfect financial world for what you and I need to do to complete a transaction without the government saying how we need to go about it.
So we've talked a lot about Bitcoin and some basics of crypto, but I want to mix up for a second now and talk about the other side of crypto that's totally outside of Bitcoin, right? So After Bitcoin, we had Ethereum was created, and the goal of Ethereum, right, was to be like the computer of the world, right? Like, so on the blockchain, you could basically have code, right? And you could do things, you have smart contracts. And then that is, of course, dramatically changed over the last few years. And now Ethereum is honestly a dinosaur that has been far surpassed by newer, better things, but it's still the big thing that gets all the attention. But now, because of smart contracts, there's so much more that can be done out there. And there are all kinds of businesses that exist out there that do things. And NFTs is one of them. I mentioned NFTs briefly, and we're doing a whole series around NFTs. But
Blood pumping.
Huh?
You're going to get my blood pumping. I love this.
Now, you know, I am all in. You mentioned earlier, you know, a few years ago, you went all in on Bitcoin. I went all in on the DeFi side of it. So I'm a DeFi guy, which is decentralized finance. And I actually took all of my money and converted it to dollars, but converted it to dollars in on the blockchain. And I can use it for lending and staking and liquidity providing and all these things, and make 10 to 20% interest on my money just with US dollars, and like with, you know, less volatility risk. And the volatility of Bitcoin makes me puke, like the 20% up and down every month and whatever. Like, I don't deal with that very well. So I invested all my money just in dollars. And then what most people don't realize, right, is there's a whole world out there of finance now that you can do option trading and margin trading, leverage trading. And I mean, you can even buy Tesla stock on the blockchain, right? Like, there's all this crazy stuff that exists out there, including lending. And the simplest example of all of this, for those who aren't familiar with it, is somebody like you has Bitcoin. You've had it since 2015, and it's probably worth a lot of money right now. And you're like, I don't want to sell it, but I need a few bucks to buy a car. So you might want to get a loan, right? And so there are people like me that would give you the money, and I would take your Bitcoin as collateral, right? So there are basically banks on the blockchain that facilitate that. And guys like me can make interest on my money by giving you money on your collateral, right? And so there's a whole different world of crypto out there, and besides just Bitcoin, that most people don't realize exists.
Yeah, I mean, that's a solution that a coin like Salt provides. You're talking about asset lending. And DeFi is huge, right? I mean, that's one piece of the pie. You've got liquidity pools, you've got staking. There's multiple ways to go about that. One of the drawbacks to DeFi is you're still handing your money to somebody else in order to collect the 20% or the 200%, whatever rate you have agreed to. So there's a certain amount of risk with, you know, giving somebody 100% of your assets, and enough bad stories to go around. It's not a bad way to go. I mean, compared to, you know, the 0.01% the bank is going to pay you interest, and then they're going to turn around and, you know, stake that money in the stock market and make 20% on the 0.01% that you pay. Well, why am I feeding the bank? That I might as well just do that for myself and do it the smart way. Kudos to you. You're ahead of the masses there, Matt. That's smart. Wickedly smart.
Yeah, the only problem is it's filled with exploits and bugs.
That,
you know, the problem with all modern banking is digital, as we talked about, right? Like Bank of America, all these things, it's all computer stuff behind 100%. The scenes. But the problem with smart contracts and the blockchain is if a developer has a bug in their code, like, your money's just gone. there's no way to fix it. Like, it's just gone. And so I've been hit with a few of those exploits. Had one actually a couple days ago. And so
I had a buddy of mine who was trying to get me involved in an NFT project, and I decided not to. And then like 2 months later, he called me back and, you know, Seth, we raised this money. We've got a $400,000, you know, digital NFT project, and our blockchain developer had a backdoor and all this money is gone. You know, it calls me in a panic. I mean, it was a heartbreaking conversation to have. But that stuff does happen. If you don't know what you're doing, and really, you know, if you're just chasing money in this space, you're going to open yourself up to a lot of problems.
People that chase super high yields are inevitably going to run into super high risk. Like it absolutely follows. So, you know, you're the founder of the Crypto Wealth Coach. So for those who are listening that are thinking about investing in crypto, like what general advice do you give people?
We have 11 principles in our book, Prohibited Profits. Mm-hmm. Thank you again for the opportunity to be on the show here. That's kind of what I want to talk. We just released this book in November. It is my very first book, so I'm new to the scene. I've never done this, and I'm honored to be here. Thank you again, Matt. But within that book, we actually focus on 11 fundamental principles to help with technology investing specifically. Because technology investing is a pattern that has repeated itself, you know, over the last 100 years, where you can make generational wealth. So Bitcoin is a fascinating conversation, right? I mean, that if you got into Bitcoin 10 to 12 years ago, you're probably sitting on generational wealth. As long as you didn't make any stupid mistakes, you're sitting in a good, comfortable position at this point. That's probably a safe statement to make. But it's also temporary, right? Like, I'm 45 years old. I grew up in the 90s. I watched my parents and my parents' friends talk about the dot-com boom when that happened. I wasn't quite old enough to be legal to invest in the stock market, but I remember those conversations, you know? And 30 years ago, those conversations were, have you heard of the internet? Matt, are you online? Do you got a computer? Do you have an interweb link? Imagine having that conversation today. If I got on this podcast and Matt, do you have an internet link? You'd laugh at me. That's a ridiculous question to ask. If you are not on the internet, my friend, you are completely irrelevant in 2022.
Or you just live in a third world country.
Okay, you're not irrelevant, but you've certainly got some challenges ahead.
We also all forget, like, so my wife's parents are my wife's from the Philippines, and like, you know, she grew like 2 years ago. I mean, her family didn't have a sink, didn't have an air conditioner, didn't have a stove, didn't have a fridge. Sure as hell didn't have the internet or a cell phone. And so there are still people that live this way in the world, you know?
There people, that's the fascinating conversation with technology, because what you're talking about is exponential growth. And when you have exponential growth as a possibility, when you start compounding that, you have the ability to also leapfrog certain technologies. And we are seeing that in the world, very much so with Bitcoin, right? Like, the internet has brought us exponential advancements to the fact where, you know, tribes in the Philippines and in Africa, and I'm making general statements here, please don't let any viewers get upset at me because I'm glancing over. But we are now seeing, you know, tribes that never had dial-up internet, now they're walking around with, you know, $2,000 smartphones in their pocket, and they're on high-speed internet chasing, you know, trading stocks from their grass hut. Okay, so that's what the benefit of exponential technology advancements gives us. And while it's taken 30 years to get the internet up and going, now everybody's going to smartphones and we're getting digital money. And who knows what the next technology advancement is going to bring us? I have no idea.
And
if you're buying Bitcoin right now, my friend, you have missed the boat. Bitcoin was the opportunity 10 years ago. If you're buying it now because your barber's talking about it, you're coming at this from a different mindset that I would recommend you come at it from. And that's where the book really focuses on the fundamentals of sound principle money, deflationary money versus inflationary money. Why are we buying this technology? Are you looking for Bitcoin 2.0? Well, I don't give two rat's tails about Bitcoin 2.0. Bitcoin already works. It's a $1 trillion economy. If you want to invest in technology, you need to invest in disruptive markets that are going to shake up the world and solve a problem. Those are the investments that are going to 10x and 100x. You know, I don't care about 20% investments in the stock market. I want to make 1,000% or better on every investment that I make. And so that's the angle we come at it. You know, most investors would tell you, if you can double your money, jump on it. I don't even get excited unless I can triple my money. I'm looking for 10x or better. And we come at it from a technology investment standpoint. And that's what we really focus on in the book. That's a long answer to get to.
Well, so that highlights what I mentioned earlier, where I've been one of those people that have figured out every way to lose money in crypto. And because what happens inevitably is people don't think about buying in until everybody starts talking about it, but nobody starts talking about it until you hit like the pinnacle of it, right? Like the pinnacle of the price and everything. Like, so
if you're doing what everybody else does, you will continue to get the results that everybody else has.
And so like 2017, 2018 or whatever, when Bitcoin went to about 20 grand, That's like everybody gets excited and they buy it. They buy it at the top, right? And then they then it, you know, it dumps later and they sell it and they lose money. And also what really blows me away is I recently saw a couple of my family members and I, you know, I talked to them randomly about stuff with crypto or DeFi and whatever. And they're like, oh yeah, I bought some crypto. I bought some with Robinhood. I bought some of that Dogecoin.
Yeah. Which isn't like, even crypto.
Oh my God. And of course they all lost a bunch of money at it. And I'm like, of all the things you could have possibly done, you bought Dogecoin.
It went up 10,000% and you decided to buy.
Yeah. And then they buy.
You didn't really think that through, did you? Like, you know, markets are like rubber bands, man. They bounce back and forth. They're elastic.
That's the big thing that I've learned is the time to buy is, you know, when nobody's talking about it, right? It's not at the top of the wave when everybody's talking about it and it gets all the press.
You should be buying right now after a 60, 50% dip. Nobody wants to talk about Bitcoin anymore because they're all have lost money. That's why nobody wants to talk about it.
But
they bought it 65 grand. Now they're down 60% and they're embarrassed. Okay. Yeah. That's really what's going on. But the truth of the matter is now is when you should be plowing in and finding the next opportunities that are going to wickedly outperform Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoin going from 40 grand to 200 grand is significant. You should be head over heels if you find performance like that in the stock market. But other technologies that are bringing new advancements to the table that Bitcoin doesn't and won't, like Harmony and Vesper and Terra Luna, which takes seconds for their blockchains to close and complete. You know, they're disruptors in the market. These things are going to outperform Bitcoin by leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
And that's where I want to be. That's what I'm looking for. You know, it's like the penny stock market. You know, a lot of folks will like $10
or less
is the penny stock. Well, we look at penny cryptos over here. Is kind of our bigger concept.
Yeah, and I was also going to say, for those that are somewhat familiar, that's what we refer to as altcoins. So you have Bitcoin, and then like everything else is like the altcoins. And you're right. It's like when Bitcoin may go up 10%, a lot of times all these other altcoins may go up 20% when the other goes up 10%. Or they always go up more, but they also go down more usually.
True.
But definitely in big cycles, if Bitcoin's going to go up 5x in value, odds are the altcoins will do more than 5x. And if you find the right project, it could be 100x, right? And it's just really hard to find those. And it's a lot of speculation and gambling, really.
It's not. Actually, I would argue that because we've done it consistently for our investors for the last 6 years, based on the fundamentals that we hone on in this book. You know, I mean, at Bitcoin, obviously, right now, we're like over 40,000%. One mistake, I did make a mistake with Terra Luna, I'll openly admit. We had Terra Luna when it was pennies. And, you know, now we've bumped over $100.
Yeah.
And I was all excited. Like, my group of investors, we returned 1,800%. And I told my guys, hey, man, this is a quadruple winner. We got the golden egg. It's time to sell. And we sold. We cashed in 1,800%. We are happy. We rinsed and repeat. We put this money somewhere else. And Terra Luna continued to run and perform at about 13,000%.
Yeah.
I made a mistake on that one, didn't I?
So what's funny is Luna and Terra, the UST crypto, kind of go right back to what we were talking about earlier with currency, because it's basically a backing of the UST currency token, right? Which is like a dollar, and it's backed by the Luna crypto. But it's an interesting experiment, right? Like it's actually sort of like a giant Ponzi scheme, or like everybody believes the UST coin is worth a dollar and like the Luna backs it or whatever. But anytime there's like billions of dollars in this UST coin, that could come crumbling down if everybody decides that it's not worth a dollar anymore. So it's like really interesting market dynamics.
I don't think crypto has a high point, mainly because the dollar has no low point. Like, you know, the purchase value of your dollar has eroded something like 96% in the last 100 years.
Yep.
And oh yeah, they just printed 60% more of it. You know, there is no bottom to the dollar. And that's why if they continue to keep printing more and more of it and more of that money that didn't exist yesterday flows into an asset that you can't make more of, man, put me in front of that tidal wave.
So what else can you tell us about your book? Again, you're the author of Prohibited Profits. You talk about investing in technology cycles, which is makes a lot of sense.
Here's the thing. Like, you don't need to be the smartest man on the block. That's one thing I have learned, and I have had to humble myself. I don't need to be the smartest man. I don't need to know everything. I don't need to understand how blockchain programmers work. You know, some guy sitting in his home office plugging away on his keyboard for 8 hours a day. I respect that, but I have no idea what he does. And, mm-hmm. I'll openly admit to you that I am not a software programmer. But what I have gotten really good at is identifying patterns that happen again and again in the market. And that is what the book Prohibited Profits is about. And obviously I own Crypto Wealth Coach, and I can make your eyes roll in the back of your head with the best of them. You want to have a conversation about blockchain for a few hours. Brother, I will show up and I will do that with you. But blockchain is temporary. Blockchain is just here and now. You know, that's the dot-com conversation we were having 30 years ago.
Yeah.
The Bitcoin conversation was 12 years ago. The Terra Luna conversation and the DeFi conversation is today. The metaverse might be 10 years from now. And, you know, if the big threat to Bitcoin is quantum computers, well, that technology is coming too, my friend. Those things exist. And 20 years from now, we're going to be talking about quantum proof resistant blockchain that yeah. solves a problem that Bitcoin can't compete with, you know? So whether it's cannabis, alcohol, gold prohibition, now we're talking about psilocybin, magic mushrooms. Oregon and Colorado have legalized magic mushrooms and given the federal government the one finger salute. Well, that's another trend that I want to get behind yeah. and be a part of, because those states have already won and are collecting billions of dollars in cannabis tax revenue.
Well, and what's interesting about all these things, and one you didn't mention, I don't think you mentioned, was NFTs, which is blockchain related. They're their own craze over the last 2 years. And it's an example of a craze that I don't understand. I think it's totally crazy and stupid, but if you played the cards right, you ride the wave, whether or not you like really agree with it or not. You just play the game and you make money and you just get out before the whole thing falls apart later, I guess. But NFTs are another crazy wave right now.
I come at it from a different perspective. I don't get into a market unless I have a 10-year time horizon or longer.
There you go.
I say that honestly with the disclaimer that I am a technology investor. And again, with the patterns, technology tends to go through wicked corrections like this. We saw it with Amazon, we saw it with Microsoft, Tesla. All of these companies have actually done 85% corrections in their price points and come back and later recovered, because a lot of people will dip and run and take their money and think, well, this is over. And they don't ride out that technology wave and make generational wealth on the flip side of it. So I only get into a market with, like, honestly, if I'm not going to sit in something for longer than 4 years, I probably won't bother. So the 85% corrections, everybody who's running away from NFTs right now doesn't scare me. I'm stacking my Satoshis and I'm adding more. Because I see NFTs as far more, you know, they're more than digital apes, right? We're talking yes. about membership. We're talking about smart contracts. When you go buy a plane ticket and you scan your smartphone and you go check on the plane at the airport, that's an NFT. You know, it's a very simple NFT, but that technology is going to continue in advance. You're going to get memberships with your NFTs. You're going to get exclusive rights to, you know, whenever you go join, I don't know, an entrepreneur group and you want to better yourself, that's going to come with T-ships, membership access. This is what NFTs is going to continue to compound and grow. And that's what I think a lot of people just aren't seeing yet, right? Like 30 yep. years ago, people couldn't see that we were going to be making purchases online and having podcasts. There weren't a whole lot of people envisioning that, but here we are today. 30 years from now, NFTs, no one's going to be saying, do you own NFTs? That's going to be a ridiculous question 30 years from now. That's going to be the standard. We're going to be doing everything with digital money. So, you know, that's just how my mind thinks. You're not wrong to take your profits and get out and run. You're not wrong at all. I just come at it from a longer term horizon. You know, you're not right. Well, I'm not wrong. We're both right, Matt.
Well, and you're right, because that's the reason that I never made any money with Bitcoin, right? It's like, if I would have just kept the Bitcoin I had in 2013, I would be way up, right? I would be up like thousands of percentage or whatever, right? But nope, I sold it. And then, you know, buy and sell along the way and let's lose. So you're right. You got to take a long, you got to be very patient and stop trying to day trade this shit. It's the people that try and day trade it and stuff that just get killed.
I want to give you a gold star because that little nugget right there for the audience was priceless. You're 100% correct. And that is what it's all about. That was profound. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah. You're right. It's take the long-term horizon of it, of just like, I'm going to buy this thing and just forget about it for a long time and come back. You'll be in good shape.
When we can admit our mistakes and learn from the lessons, whatever the loss was, doesn't matter, right? Now you learn the lesson. You got the real value out of it. As long as we learn and move forward and don't make the same mistake next time, we're winning.
That tuition's expensive, though.
It is.
That's how you learn.
First attempt in learning, right? Fail. F-A-I-L. First attempt in learning. First you learn, then you earn.
Well, once again, today's episode of Startup Hustle was sponsored by FullScale, helping you build software development teams quickly and affordably. Also, check us out on Facebook for the Startup Hustle chat group. We also have a YouTube channel. And we're doing a whole series on NFTs. We talked about NFTs a little bit today. Hopefully you catch some other episodes about NFTs. We're going a lot deeper into what they're for and different use cases and talking to some cool people that do things with NFTs in the industry. So they're pretty cool. Hopefully
NFTs are something else, man, because one thing we didn't talk about was asset-backed NFTs. If you want to get into NFTs, right, there's that conversation around deflationary money, inflationary money. What's backing your NFT? Well, we can actually back our NFTs with assets. There are diamond-backed NFTs, which are precious jewels, right? You can also back your NFT with wine. Check out Ravencoin for any of the audience. OVR, over the reality, and Bondly are some of my more favorite NFTs. These are exciting projects that I predict will probably perform at over 4,000% in the next 24 months. I may be wrong. I may be right. But check them out. They are definitely worth your time.
So for those that are listening, obviously they can pick up your book, Prohibited Profits. I'm going to guess it's on Amazon and all the other places you would buy books.
Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble, and of course my own website, prohibitedprofits.com.
And so for those that are interested in what you do, they want to go to cryptowealthcoach.co.
You can. And you know, one thing, I'm obviously biased. You can buy the book on Amazon. It's $15. But if you buy it through our website, we will also give you a free 30 days to Crypto Wealth Coach. If that's something you're interested in, try us out and we'll blow your mind in the group. Crypto is an opportunity that's here and now. And this mission is bigger than what I can do with my own finances. This is about impacting others. And the biggest gap that I see in the world today is a lack of financial education. And that is my mission. I want to help folks. I've done very well in the investment world. I've been able to escape the 9-to-5 work scene 6 years ago. I work for myself now, and it's been the biggest impact on my life with both family and mental health in many aspects. And that's my goal. That's what I want to bring to the table. Whether you're interested in crypto or any of the other markets, that's my mission, is to here to help people figure out these patterns and get in front of them so that they can be profitable on their own.
Well, thank you so much for having you. Thanks so much for being on the show today. And I'm sure you and I could go grab a beer and talk about crypto for days on end, but we'll have to end it here for everybody.
Motions of gratitude, Matt. I'm very grateful for the opportunity. Thank you again.
All right. Thanks, everybody, and be sure to check out our other NFT-related episodes. See ya.
Startup Hustle's brought to you by FullScale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.